Good morning, good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Are we really fired up this morning?
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're not morning people, but you know, when it comes to the Lord, I'm going to be a morning person. I get you, man. My daughter wears a shirt talking about, I do not like people in the morning. I'm like, that's just life. You got to go to work, got to get up early in the morning. Who really came with the idea that we had to start work at 8 a.m., you know? Why can't we start work at 12, lunchtime, you know, last of lunchtime, you know? Why can't we do that? Classes start early in the morning. That's what, but you know, I think the thing about being in college, someday you can choose when your class starts. That's just only if everything is in order. If it's not, then they say, no, you got to take this class, you got to take this class, and you got to get it at this time, you know? So, but it's just great to be alive. It's great to be up in the morning. Really fired up. It's a beautiful day. So it's going to be another warm day. Yeah. But thank God for AC. So, you know, obviously I don't know how people did it back in the old days, but you know, when that's the norm that you have no AC, you have fans and stuff. Hey, it really wasn't hot. But anyway, guys, we've been talking about building health. Not wealth, but building health. And everybody wants to be healthy, don't they?
Yeah.
Yep. I want to be healthy, don't you? Don't want nothing wrong. Who really likes going to see the doctor? I don't. But you know, thank God we have doctors to kind of help, help cure any illness or any things we may have. But guys, we want to talk about building health. We talked last week about building healthy, having a healthy relationship with God. This week we're going to talk about building a healthy relationship with one another.
Oh, snap.
That's where we're going. You know, building health is not only building a healthy relationship with God, but God wants you and I to have healthy relationships between each other. There's nothing better than having a healthy relationship with a good friend. You know what I mean? Well, guess what? Someday, if you start to date and you start to get engaged in marriage, you want to make sure it's a healthy relationship.
Right.
There's nothing worse than being in a relationship that's just unhealthy. It causes unnecessary stress. It causes unnecessary problems. It just causes unnecessary a lot of things. That's all it causes.
Yep.
But we all desire and want to be in a healthy relationship. And God wants us to be in a healthy relationship. I'm going to read a couple of things here to you guys to first understand one another. We're talking about the church here. Well, what is the church? The church is defined as it is the people, and the people of the church are disciples of Jesus. Right. What is a disciple? A disciple is a student. So you're a student of Jesus. It says those disciples follow the teachings of Jesus, which is the will of God. We've got to have somebody's will, some purpose in our life that says, this is why I do what I do.
That's right.
You know, God wants us to have healthy relationships. If you want to know how to build close and healthy relationships with disciples, follow the model given by Jesus himself. Guys, I'm going to go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. We're going to start there. And we're going to go through here swiftly. I promise you swiftly. Got quite a few points, but we're going to get through them and everything. But John chapter 15, and why you guys are getting there. John chapter 15, verse 12. Let me read something here. It says, the disciples were so committed to Jesus as a friend that they all laid down their lives for him. Did you guys get that? Disciples were so committed to Jesus as a friend that they all laid down their lives for him. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the secret of Christ's successful friendship laid in the shared goal of doing the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Over in John, I lost my place again. John chapter 15, verse 12. I'm going to get right back there. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is one of the main challenges to building a great friendship. This is kind of the foundation to building a great friendship with each other.
Right.
To love him like Jesus loved. To have a successful relationship like Jesus has with the disciples. If we're going to have one with each other, guess what? We've got to love. He says, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus is the model. He is the standard. First point we're going to talk about is close relationships. Go with me to Acts 2. We all want to have somebody who's close to us in our life. We're just talking about friendship. We're talking about a great friend, somebody who I can depend on, somebody who I just, you know will be there for me. You know, somebody who's not afraid to call me out and tell me when I'm wrong. I'm just what? I'm wrong. Whether I want to hear it or not. But that's a friend I love. That's a friend who I know I can trust. You know, and that's the kind of person we're wrong. I'm going to read something here, then we're going to jump straight into Acts chapter 2, guys. It's going to be Acts 2:44. And while you're getting there, I'm going to read something. It says, Jesus knew how to win the trust, confidence, and love from his disciples because he chose men who were committed to the goals of the Heavenly Father. Did you get that? He chose men who were committed to the goals of the Heavenly Father. The type of friends we want to choose to be within the kingdom is people who are committed to God's goal. Them the friends you want to hang around in the body of Christ. They are committed to God's purpose, God's will, and God's goal. He says, if you really want to have close relationships, base them around mutual goals of giving God glory through the planting and growing of his church in all respects. So we're talking about all respects, not only bearing fruit, helping people to come to know him, but in all respects, bearing fruit in many different ways. It says, Jesus spent leisure in ministry time with the disciples so they could have a transparent relationship.
Right.
Since the Lord had nothing to hide, he was willing to let the disciples see him on a 24-hour basis. Did you get that? We got to have an open relationship with one another. Transparent. We need to let people see who we are. You know, when time we're trying to hide something, we're not being real with ourselves and we're not being real with God. Verse 44, Acts 2, it says, all the believers, they were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. What a powerful passage. It said the believers were together. Now, of course, this is surrounding a big festival they're having, but just looking at the foundation it lays there, it talks about how they were really building some great and close relationships. That they made it a priority to spend time with one another. This is what disciples do in the church. We make it a priority to spend time with one another. Okay? We have busy lives. We have things going on. But guess what? When it comes to getting together as disciples, like, we got to find out and figure out some way to make some type of time, build some way. Maybe you need to come to my house. Maybe I need to come to your place. Maybe we need to meet halfway. But building a healthy relationship in the church, we got to figure out how to make that time happen. That's what you got to do. When you're not making time for one another, obviously you're making time for the world. Hey, we make time for the world in many ways. I'm going to listen to the radio a lot. You know, there's a lot of things that I like, probably shouldn't be listened to. I'm going to make time for that TV. Don't need to be on the TV all the time. Work is just a necessity. School is just a necessity. I have to go there because I'm trying to achieve something. But even so, you do want to break from the everyday norm. Think about it. I need some leisure time. To build a healthy and to grow a close relationship with one another, you got to make time.
Sure.
It requires you to invest. Who are you investing into? That's the question. Who are you making time to invest into? We all invest in something. We invest in things that we believe are very important. But I'm here to tell you, there is nothing more important than investing in your relationship with another brother or sister in the faith who is a disciple, who is trying to go after God's purpose and will. There's nothing more important than that except for God himself. We got to invest in relationships and that requires commitment. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to commit? That's the question. Are you willing to commit? Can you be considered a person who believes in commitment? Are you willing to share in the same mutual goals that I have for Christ? I love God. I love Christ. I love everything they stand for. And every day I work at trying to get closer to them. I was sharing with Richard and Chris earlier. I'm listening to a book on Audible. Since my fasting is from TV. And you know, and at first when I started fasting TV, I was like, so what am I going to do? You know, you think about like, what am I going to do? I thought, man, college football Saturday morning, 9 a.m., come to ESPN. What am I going to do? I might need to switch that up a little bit. Maybe I go Netflix. Maybe I go YouTube. I can't. I know. TV. So that's why I got, you know, kept thinking about. And you know, the spirit has a way of like telling you, oh, there's plenty for you to do. You may just don't want to do it, but there's plenty for you to do instead of sitting down watching TV always. There's plenty for you to do. So I signed up for Audible. Audible, and I had done Audible since, I think, 2016. And I was like, man. And now they're like, hey, if you re-sign back up, we give you 2 free books to listen to. Oh, if your choice. Oh, you know, you like when somebody give you something free, and you get to choose what it's going to be. I'm like, this is exciting. So I got me 2 books, one on leadership and one on a book called Living by the Book. Talking about Living by the Bible. I say, hey, let's listen to those 2 books. So I got that, and I said, okay, this is cool. And so then another brother sent me a book from a meeting I couldn't make, and I started reading that book. It's called Faith and Finance. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So last few days I've been in books. Just books, left and right. I'm like, wow. Got into the yard and did some work, edge and trim. I know my neighbor, like, who is doing their yard this time of night? And of course, on the side of my house, I have a street light, so it shines on my yard. So even though it got dark, I'm out there cutting lights, and I'm going to cut grass in the dark. I'm like, it's just plain to do. You know, I think about, there's always something to do, and there's always things that need to be done, as long as you believe it's important. Relationships are important.
That's right.
You just have to make time to do it. I'm not missing TV as much as I thought I was going to miss TV. I have plenty to do. I want somebody who has the same mutual goals I have as glorifying God. And these last few, couple of 4 days, whatever, I've been glorifying God in my relationship by spending time with Him. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. That's the kind of friendship I want to build with somebody. I want them to have the same type of thought, same training, same thing. And guys, John chapter 21, the gospel, Gospel of John chapter 21. So we're talking about building a close relationship requires that we're on the same path, requires that we are open, that we are transparent in our relationships, require that you and I, that we're building confidence in one another. We're building trust in one another. It just requires that. And over in John, next thing we're going to talk about is great patience for one another. Don't you love when people have patience with you? I know I do because I dropped the ball too many times. And I'm so glad when people have patience with me. I'm going to read something while you go in there. It says, Jesus demonstrated great patience, tolerance, and forbearance with the disciples who were slow to learn important lessons. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but at times in my life, and still am, slow to learn a lot of lessons. Yep. You know, have to pay attention. When Jesus approached the disciples on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he began with a practical concern for what they were doing. John chapter 21 verse 5 says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Wow. He says, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Wow. He's trying to get to Jesus. Great patience for one another. Great patience. You know, I am grateful for the fellowship of brothers in the room. I am grateful, you know. I'm grateful for Chris being here. He's young, fired up, young spirit, and not afraid to help hold me accountable on some issues. He held me accountable on the issue on Wednesday night, which I was just like, wow, just broken by, like, that was so true. And felt bad about it. And I had to go back and make it right with my brother Richard and everything. Just not really paying attention. But he was not afraid to really challenge me and say, Sydney, I'm not sure if you didn't get this, but felt this wasn't right. And I thought, man, amazing, amazing. And so me and Richard talked about it in the truck ride and go get my son. But, you know, even still, I had to apologize again. But, you know, it's just that the patience that the Lord has with me by using people like Chris, by using people like Richard, Nora, and other people just in my life and say, hey, we want to help you get this right. You know, we know you're a little slow in this area here of learning, but I want to help you get this right. I want a friendship where, guess what? You're patient with me. You're going to help me get it right. You're going to tolerate just a little bit. Jesus was patient with these guys. And if you don't understand the whole complexity of this whole scripture here, this is after Jesus has come back. And of course, they shouldn't be fishing for fish. They should be out there fishing for people. But you know, we have our moments where we feel like it's a woe is me time. What has happened here? I didn't really get the picture. So I'm going to go back off and do what I used to do. This is where they were at. Jesus comes along, just like, I got to get you back on track. Let me help you out. You're kind of getting distracted. I love it when I have friends who are going to be in my life and who are not afraid to tell me the truth, who are going to love me enough to point me in the right direction, who are going to love me enough to pull me back off the wrong exit, back onto the right road that I need to be on. I love friends who are patient enough with me to love me. You know, people often remember us for what we have done to meet their needs. Do you know that? When you do something to meet somebody's needs, people will remember you for that. They won't forget that. My neighbor across the street came over the other night while I was cutting yard, you know, finding things to do, keep me busy. And I had told him about what my wife had been going through like several months back. And he came when his wife came home and they bought a big old fruit basket. So I was like, wow, that's amazing. And of course, Sharice is just eating fruit and she's dropping the pounds. I'm like, I need to go on a fruit diet myself. She's just dropping, she's leaving me and eat this fruit in the morning, you know, everything. So amazed by that. Sharice was like, this was nice. This was nice, you know. So I didn't forget that. I came home last night. I was dropping my grandson off. Last night, and I see my neighbor out there in the middle of the road, kind of in front of his driveway with his Corvette, and he's up under it, and I'm looking like, I don't know what that's about. So I walk in the house real quick, just let Sharice know I'm in, and I go back outside, and I walk across the street, and I see he had there with a phone flashlight. You know, we don't use flashlights no more. We just use the phone flashlight. I don't know why we do that, but he's out there with a flashlight up under the car, and his wife's looking over him, and I'm like, hey, neighbor, and stuff. I'm going to ask a silly question, because I know you're more of a handyman than I am. You need any help? I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to help you do up under this car, but you need help. And he's like, the starter's gone. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, trying to figure it out. I said, well, maybe we can at least get it out the road for you and get up in your driveway since you're right in front of your driveway and everything. So I call my boys out and we go and we push this car in the driveway. His wife is truly grateful. But I did it because I remember the gesture they showed me the night before. Mm-hmm. People will remember you when you meet their needs. Do you know that in the kingdom, we need to make sure that we're meeting the needs of each other? Because a brother and sister will remember that when you meet their needs. They won't forget that. Having great patience for one another. We're going to stay in the chapter of John, guys. Gospel of John, read that, John 21. Next thing we're going to talk about is don't give up on your friendships. Sometimes people that you feel like, why are they not changing? I just want to quit. Don't talk to me. I don't want to spend time with them. They are not changing. It's even so for us disciples, we feel like, you should be getting this by now, brother. It's sin. You should be getting this by now, sister. It's sin. What part of S-I-N you don't understand? Or what if we're not doing the right thing? We feel like that sometimes. But we don't need to give up on friendship. Well, why, Sydney? Because God ain't giving up on you yet. You still here. And trust me, I have a lot to work on. God is not giving up on me yet. You know, Jesus refused to give up on his friends. He asked Peter 3 times if he loved him. Wow. Let's read it. Stay in the Gospel of John. Let's go down to verse 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What a challenge. Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than hanging out with your friends? Do you love me more? Ain't that something? He says, yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Man, wow. You know, loving Jesus is really about action. People can say they love you all day long. But your action speaks volumes. Your action speaks volume. I don't care how many times you tell me you love me. I'm always seeing how you treat me. That's it. How many here say you love Jesus? We all probably say, well, we love Jesus, don't we? Mm-hmm. But are you willing to change for Jesus?
Yes.
That's the question. Oh, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I love God. I love everything he represents. I love going to church. But are you willing to change for Jesus? Jesus doesn't give up on you because Jesus sees better in you don't give up on a friendship in the kingdom. It may not mean for you to spend day in and day out with them while they're trying to change, but don't give up on them. Continue to pray for them. Continue to encourage them every time you get a chance. Continue to build them up. Continue to challenge them. Because some of us need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. You need to be challenged to change. If I don't challenge you to change, guess what? You're not going to want to change. That's it. Either you're going to get irritable with me and we'll be like, all right, so I'm leaving. Or you're going to be like, ugh, I'm going to fight at this and I'm going to change. Don't give up on a friendship. Your friendship that you have with somebody in the kingdom, they need your love. They need you to build them up. They need you to hold them accountable. They need you to correct them. They need you to cheer them on. They need you to be their biggest cheerleader. But most of all, they need you to be a good friend.
Right.
To be a good friend. If you're going to have healthy relationships with one another, you cannot give up on friendships in the kingdom. Because we're all fighting to get home.
Right.
Next, guys, it says, here we're going to talk about include others in your ministry work. We all have a ministry work, don't we? For sure we have one now. 100 people in 100 days. How's that ministry going for everybody? Are you enjoying it? Are you having fun? You're just talking to more people. People don't even know. People may be like, I just don't know if they're a candidate. Just talking to people. That's all God said. Can you just talk to somebody? Just tell somebody about me. Just have fun spreading the gospel. Just let me do the rest. You know what I'm saying? God said, I just need you to do this part and let me do the rest. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's all. Are you having fun? But you know what? It's good to include brothers and sisters in your ministry work. It is just so, you know. Jesus proves his love by giving important ministries to his friends.
Right.
Verse 17, I'm going to read this again. Same thing. It says, the third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter, of course, was hurt. Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Was hurt. And what was the ministry work that Jesus gave to Peter? Feed what? Feed my sheep. Jesus was including Peter in his work. He says, I got work for you to do. I want you to be involved. This is the part I want you to play in. I just need you to feed them. Can you give them some food? Sometimes it's harder for a brother or a sister to kind of share their faith. Sometimes they're a little timid. Sometimes they're not sure how to do it. Some of us are better at it. Some of us just, hey, I'm just going to crack up a conversation and talk. Grab a brother or sister, include them in your ministry work. Or maybe you're doing something to serve people. Or maybe you're serving at a senior care facility. Maybe you're serving the homeless. Maybe you're serving in school. I don't know. Maybe you're doing something on campus. I don't know. Maybe you're doing something somewhere. And you know that this would be inspiring if I pull this brother or this sister into this. Let me pull them into my ministry work. That it may build them up. Who have you been pulling in to your ministry work lately? Have you thought about pulling somebody into your ministry work? All of us are doing something. Not only are we sharing our faith for 100 days, but you're doing some other ministry work. Who can you pull in to help you with that? It's just about spending time and building. You know, building a healthy relationship is about including people in the ministry work that you are doing. When we really love each other, we will involve one another in ministries that helps us make a significant contribution to the cause of Christ. Real friendship go beyond human values.
That's right.
You get that? Real friendship goes beyond human value. Who are you pulling in to your ministry? Next one I'm talking about is don't compare and don't compete. All right, who has the competitive nature in here? Oh man, just got to compete. You just, you know, you're not gonna one up me. You know, I got to be better than you. I know somebody just compete, but you know what? Jesus is challenging us not to compare, and don't compete. Still in Gospel of John 21, I'm gonna read verse 18. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." I mean, that's just something else. I'm going to tell you how your life is going to end. This is what it's going to be. Now that you know, we all say we want to know how life is going to end. He told Peter, this is how your life's going to end. Now just follow me. Can you imagine I got to follow you, but I know this is how I'm going to end up, you know? But then he goes on to say, Peter says, verse 20 says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? I want to know what his fate is going to be. What you going to make happen to him? How is his life going to end? Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You know, Jesus refused to allow Peter to compare his friendship with that of John. See, Peter wanted to know, well, what about you and John's friendship? How's that going to end? I mean, you told me how I'm going to end. Well, I want to know about him. Are you showing him any favoritism, any special favors? Or what, he gets to lie on the beach on his last days? You know, we think like that. But what are you going to do with them? Since I got to hold my hand out, somebody got to dress me and leave me. What are you doing with me? You know, Peter was something else. But God knew that Peter was up for challenges because he was always challenging Peter. He's like, oh, Peter, you can handle this. John seemed to get almost the encouraging, gentle nudges. You know, that's how God Jesus on him. You know, Peter was always like, Peter, it's always good. Get behind me, Satan. Why are you going to call me the devil? Think about it. Peter was always being challenged. Right. He would tell me, he says, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. Every time I look around, Peter's being challenged. But Jesus knew that Peter could handle it. He knew that he could take it. He said, nah, you can take it. We going to handle John in a different way. A lot of times when we don't like the results of the way our life are going and things that happen, we like to like, well, what about them? Well, how are you going to handle them? But God doesn't want us to compare our relationship with him and his relationship with others. God doesn't want that. God said, no, this is not about competing. This is not about comparing. We need to embrace and enjoy the friendships that we have. Mm-hmm. You need to know my friendship with Chris is going to be different than the friendship I have with Richard. Mm-hmm. It's just always something different. You know, Gloria's with Charisse and Patricia's with Charisse. It's different. It doesn't mean we have to get jealous and compare. I got to be better. We got to have a better relationship than I have with so-and-so. That's not building a healthy relationship. It's not building a healthy church. We all have unique relationships. And we need to be grateful for the uniqueness and my relationship that I have with everyone. Need to be grateful. Do not hate your relationship with God upon what he decides to do with a brother or sister. Do not base your relationship with God upon what he decides to do with a brother or sister. Leave all judging and directions and development of all relationships to the Lord. What God is doing with your relationship with somebody else, amen, may God bless it. Amen. We just want to build a great and healthy relationship with one another. Guys, talk about strength and weaknesses. Stay in the same place. John 20, verse 21, that says, verse 22, it says, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Jesus' relationship with his disciples was based on an intimate knowledge of each person's strength and weaknesses. Jesus knew that each disciple had special gifts, personalities, and abilities. The Lord knew that Peter would respond best to great challenges. John, on the other hand, responded to more gentle encouragements, which we just talked about. What do you respond to? Do you know what your friend responds to? I mean, you think about it. Who responds to a great challenge? Who, like, I would need to be challenged? That's me. I need to be challenged, you know. Anything else tends to bore me. I don't know why I'm like that. Who feel like, well, no, I just need you kind of just a gentle nudge. Who responds more to that? Gentle nudge. You know, say, yeah. See, they're like, oh, man, don't challenge me. You know, just messing things up here. I can't think straight, you know. I get it. But you know what? There's just something unique about you. And that's something as a friend I need to know. So I know not to impose upon you a certain way that makes you feel uncomfortable or that makes you react the wrong way. We need to recognize the strength and weaknesses in one another. We do. Everybody's not going to be like Sydney. Everybody's going to be like, hey, let's go to the fire. I'm fired up. Who we going to fight? Everybody's not like that. The only person I don't like that in this room is Gloria and Richard. That's it. I know if you said we're going to fight, that's different too. I know. Let's go fight. Who we fight? Where to fight at? What we got? That's it. I wish I would do them back in high school. Where to fight at? Where to fight at? You know? That's the only dude I know. We can go get it all. Trisha, that's too hard, Glory. But you know, you got to know your friends' strength and weaknesses. When you do, man, it builds a great relationship between them. It just builds a great relationship between you and them, I should say. It does. And you can really build them up, and you really can learn a lot. And you can basically lean on each other when you understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, guys. Finally, get ready to wrap up here, guys. We're going to go over to Luke, Gospel of Luke 11. And, you know, something that builds a great and close and healthy relationship is, praying together. Man, you got to pray together. That's a powerful thing. Prayer just changes things.
Yep.
It will always change it. You need to pray and be patient and let the Lord do what the Lord's going to do. Luke 11, everybody. Jesus developed intimate relationships with those whom he chose to pray. The disciples once asked Jesus to give the model of, based on what Jesus gives the disciples, the model of the Lord's Prayer, that would remind them of the essential elements to include in everyday prayer as they sought greater intimacy with God. Here it is in verse 1, Luke 11 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Verse 2, it says, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And if you go to Matthew, it ends off with, but deliver us from the evil one. Praying together is so essential. To hear the prayer of another brother and sister, man, fires me up. It inspires me. But God gives this here as a model, as an outline. For a long time, too long, we think this is the only prayer you can pray. This is how you can pray. And it's amazing we think that, but yet when you read the Bible, you see people praying in totally different ways. And you're thinking like, how can this be the only prayer if they're praying in totally different ways? But God gives this as an outline. God said these are the essential things to remember when you're going to pray to God. But there's nothing like praying together with a brother or sister. It stirs the soul. It inspires your spirit. Man, it builds you up. It leaves you refreshed and charged and ready to take on the next problem, the next issue, ready to face the world and whatever it throws to you. Building a healthy relationship with one another depends heavily on you praying together.
Yep.
When is the last time have you just prayed together? Over the phone? Over Skype? I don't know. FaceTime? Met somewhere publicly and said, let's just pray. When is the last time that you got together with a brother and sister in the faith and said, let's just pray?
Amen.
We need that. This is what builds a healthy relationship in the church, that we pray together, not only in a congregational setting, but even outside of that. Gotta pray together. Finally, guys, Mark chapter 12, and we're going to close out here. Building a healthy relationship. Mark chapter 12, I'm going to read something here to you. Finally, we need to learn to love with unreserved affection and commitment. We need to learn to love with unreserved affection and commitment. We like to reserve a lot of things. We need to be unreserved in this area here. Good relationships still have clearly defined roles, identities, and responsibilities. Jesus taught the Pharisees that they had forgotten the greatest commandment that involved relationships. Mark 12:28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You know, remember that it is impossible to properly love others or ourselves unless we first love the Lord with unreserved and affectionate commitment. If you're not willing to give God your all, it's going to be hard to love each other with your all. If you're not, it says love the Lord with all your heart. Wow. Your mind, your soul, and your strength. He wants everything. If you can't love God that way, there's no way you're going to be able to love your neighbor. You're not going to be able to love none of us in this room. You're not going to be, you're just not going to be able to do it. Because if you are being reserved or holding back from God, guess what you're going to do with our relationship? You're going to be reserved and you're going to hold back from our relationship.
That's right.
If we're going to build a healthy relationship with one another, if we're going to build a healthy church, we're going to have to be all in. We're going to have to love holding nothing back. We're going to have to be like Jesus. We're going to have to be transparent. We're going to have to be transparent. I was sharing with you today by reading the book. It says that, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible.
Yeah.
If sin keep you from the Bible, that means you're not in your Bible.
Yep.
And it also made a comment, I love this book, this comment says, if you see a dusty Bible, it means you're carrying life somewhere. That's it. Because if the Bible's dusty, it ain't being open.
That's right.
And your life is just totally dirty, filled with sin and all kind of wicked and junk. It's hard to build a healthy relationship when your life is all like that. It's hard.
Yep.
But you know, to build a healthy relationship, we're going to have close relationships. We're going to have to be patient with one another. We can't give up on each other. We just can't. And hopefully you don't give up on yourself. Just can't do it. We're going to have to include others in our ministry work. Sometimes people just don't know how to do ministry or what to get involved with. We have to include them in our ministry work. You know, we're going to have to not compare and not compete with each other. So what? You can sing better than me. Amen. You'll be doing worship leader every Sunday then. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you can sing. We need you. That's it. Don't compare, don't compete. We have to be aware of each other's strength and weaknesses. We gotta recognize it. We gotta recognize it. We gotta learn to pray together.
Yep.
I don't care if you say, let's grab a chair, pull it in the corner, let's meet and you pray. Or we meet over here at Dunkin' Donuts, or we go walk early in the morning when it's cool or late nothing. We need to pray together. That's it. And we need to love with unreserved. That's the key word. Unreserved. Don't hold back your love for me. I need to be loved. Do not hold back your commitment for our friendship. I need your commitment. We need to be all in on building a healthy church. We need to be all in on building healthy relationships in this church. We need to be all in building health. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.